You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, hey.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm the one that they refer to in the title. You know, considering you could be doing anything else during this particular time period, I am honored that you decided to spend the time with me. Unless you clicked in the wrong place, then, well, whatever. I think we have a lot in common, actually. I really do. I think we both put our pants on the same way, over our heads. I think we live and breathe the same air, sort of. I think we have a lot in common. I think you're disgusting, and, you know, that's about it. If you really want to see people as they really are, go driving in your car. Not now, after the show, unless you're in your car already. And at a traffic light or in traffic, just like peer into the next person's car, you know, and see what they're doing. I guarantee you it's going to be something that will be positively nauseating. Either they'll be picking their nose or some odd place on their body, or they'll be doing something disgusting, like putting their fingers where fingers should never go. You kind of think that when you're in your car that you're totally invisible. No, I'm watching you. That's why relationships are so interesting. When you're dating somebody, you only see the shell. You only see what they want to expose to you. You don't know their personal hygiene habits or what they do in their spare time when they're locked in the bathroom. You don't know that stuff. You don't know their inner thoughts, their darkest, deepest secrets. And then you live with them for a while, and you get a little taste of it, and you say, I can put up with this. It's not horrible. And then, like, you get married to them, or you spend a lot of time with them, you move in together, and, oh my God, the stuff you learn, it's like, whoa, this is like a murder mystery. This, wow, what I've uncovered here. What? How does this person exist in a world of fantasy? What am I doing with this person? And there's no answer. The only realization you come to is one or two things. Either, well, everybody's got their problems, so if I went to somebody else, I'd find out the same kind of stuff is going on. Or you look in the mirror and you say, actually, I'm a little more disgusting than they even are, so I guess I shouldn't be judgy. Boy, the things people learn when they listen to this show, it's unbelievable. I get that all the time. People come up to me and say, who are you? You sound familiar. That's so freaky to me. That happens. That happens to me. It's been happening like a good part of my life because I've been in public stuff for most of it. And it's a bit, when I did little television stuff, I mean, I understood that because I don't look like anybody else. I don't think I have a body double or all, not even close. So, but I can understand that. But when I went into radio and vocal broadcasting, people would stop me in a supermarket if I was saying to the cashier, "Paper, please." And they seriously, they'd come up to me and say, "Are you Ron Van Dam?" "Whoa, how did you? Oh, it's that voice." "That's too freaky. I'm sorry." Chills just went up and down my spine. "That's a little too familiar. You know who I am by me saying paper, please? Oh, my God." Am I being a little overdramatic? Of course I am. Because otherwise, why would you listen to this? You have to be overdramatic to do any type of public stuff. You have to. That's where I'm going someday. A lot of people think when you go to heaven... Oh, shut up. Oh, my God. A lot of people think that when you go to heaven, there's a person playing the harp. I don't think so. I think it's the saxophone. I don't think it's the harp. It's such a... Anyway, yeah, I have to be overdramatic. Otherwise, like, why would you listen to anybody just talk? I mean, when you see your friend in the driveway or something, first of all, you say, "What are you doing in my driveway?" And secondly, you say, you look at your watch, which you're not even wearing. You look at your wrist and you say, "Dude, I gotta get going. Oh my God, look at the time. I gotta get going." And that's the end of the conversation, because people are basically just, they drone on and on and on, and they're quite boring. So when you do this radio kind of stuff, you have to embellish. You have to make it sound exciting and incredibly interesting, like you've never heard this kind of thing before. So we overdramatize everything. You're not supposed to do that when you're delivering the news. You're not supposed to do that. You can't. You're not supposed to say, "There was an auto accident yesterday, and three people were taken to the hospital, one in critical condition." Oh my God, can you believe that happened? In critical, oh gosh, critical. I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know. I can't. There's something I wanted to talk about today, and therefore it shall occur at this time. I've been buying a lot of products that say on the label, 99.9% germ-free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 99.9% germ-free. Yep. The hand sanitizers, cleaning products, soap, wipes, you know, the wipe-down stuff thing. They're very hard to get, by the way. They're actually a very very difficult commodity. It's very difficult. Baby wipes, $7,000 for one of those little things. Yeah, I know, it's a lot. Oh, they drive the price up. But 99.9% germ free, and I feel comfortable with that until I sat down and I thought about it. 99.9% germ free. You couldn't go the extra tenth of a percent to make it 100% germ-free? Well, Ron, we can't do that because nothing's guaranteed 100%. Oh, I see. But 99.9, that's acceptable. You're freaking me out, man. You're playing with me. You're playing with me. I've got to be happy with 99.9. Let me tell you something. If someone comes along with 100%, I'm going to buy that product. Because that tenth of a percent is probably the one that's going to get me. 99.9%. Give me a freaking break. It's actually funny. When I see that on the shelf and I see the label that says 99.9% germ-free, I actually break out laughing. And people look at me and they say, "What are you laughing at?" And I say, "Look, it's 99.9% germ-free." That voice. "Are you Ron Van Dam?" Oh, my God, here we go again. 99. I'm 99.9% sure that you're the father. Do you ever watch that Maury Povich show? I don't watch it. I just know of it. Apparently, every one of his shows, he's doing genetic testing to find out if one of the guests on his show is the father of whatever the subject matter may be. There may not even be a child involved. It's just a question of whether you're the one. It's just, they do this, they take a swab from his mouth. First of all, I ain't putting a swab in anybody's mouth. That's a little too familiar these days. You're not supposed to do that. And then they test it, and no matter who the person is, you're the father. You're the father. Yeah, you're the father. Or can't possibly be the father. I'm sorry, you're the father. I'm 99%, 99, let's say 99.5. Actually, I'm 99.9% sure you're the father. But I don't have a penis. Well, you know, I can't explain it either. I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't watch that show. But when you do watch shows like that, you do get very, very involved in other people's problems. One of the shows that I do watch, and I scream at the TV like it's a bad sporting event, Dr. Phil. I don't know what the hell's wrong with this man. He psychoanalyzes everybody who comes on the program, everybody, but he possesses so many psychological problems himself. He's an egotistical bastard. He's never wrong about anything. If you criticize him or you refute what he might be saying, and you're a guest, He'll throw his book down in an angry kind of way, his little notebook, and he'll say, "Oh, Kate, so you're the expert. Well, then what are you doing here? I might as well just leave." It's like, what are you having a tantrum, Dr. Phil? The hell's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You have anger problems. No one can criticize you. You're always right. You spend every second of your show talking about your past and how you're the number one afternoon television. What the hell's wrong with you, man? You've got so many psychological conditions, you should be put away. You're a danger to society. And his audience are cult followers. It's like, wow. If Dr. Phil said there's a spaceship in the parking lot of the television studio, come on, audience. Let's drink this poison and go to heaven where they play harp music 24/7. Let's go, audience. And they'd all go, okay, Dr. Phil, sure, why not? God, Dr. Phil. But I watch his show sometimes because he puts on display, like a circus sideshow, these dysfunctional people with horrible, horrible personal problems. I mean, psychological disfigurement like I've never seen in my life. And exposing it all on quote-unquote national television. And Phil sitting there like he's playing God or something. And the people with these horrible, horrible life problems are mere contestants on a game show. It's just, it's demeaningly awful. However, what works for us is that we look at it and we say, well, I don't have those problems, so I guess I'm okay, and then you actually feel good about yourself. Everything we do is in comparison. Yeah. Well, that guy's an idiot. Well, at least I'm not that stupid. What's happening to society? What is happening? What's going on with you? I'm not sure. Hey, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I have to say that every once in a while, because every once in a while you forget that you're even... I'm just like a friend whom you don't know and wouldn't want to spend more than half an hour with. And you tolerate because I'm not in the same room. I'm having tremendous difficulty with phone calls these days. I've mentioned this on a few shows. People are becoming very chatty all of a sudden because of the social distancing. So the only way that they can keep up these familiar relationships is to talk incessantly. And they did it before, but now they're doing it even more. And it's just, I have an actual list of excuses written down on a piece of paper that I keep in my pocket close to me at all times. And if I get stuck in a conversation, whether it be face-to-face, which doesn't happen that much anymore, or on the phone, which happens a lot, I pull out the piece of paper. I make sure I don't make the sound of crinkling the paper, because then they'll know that I'm using crib notes. And I go down the list of excuses why, oh my God, I've got to go. The trick to this is trying to remember which person you're speaking to, you used which excuse the last time. If you repeat excuses, they start to get suspicious, and you don't want that to happen. So now I've actually created a graph on graph paper with 20 of my best excuses, which can be purchased on CD or cassette. And then next to it, all the people that I speak to on a regular basis who bother the hell out of me, and there's about 200 of those people. And it's a chart thing, so I will find the excuse and the person and make a little check mark, and next to it, the date that I made the check mark. And then when I use an excuse, I tend to use a fresh excuse because I used that excuse previously. If the excuse was used like 3 months or longer, I can reuse the excuse. It's a science, ladies and gentlemen. But it's effective. There are many excuses. You just can't overdo the same ones. My favorite excuse is, oh my God, I'm getting diarrhea. And they understand that completely because they've probably been there at one point or another. But there's no fooling around with that excuse, man. If you say that, that conversation is over. They don't have to be in the same room with you. Just even the thought of that, that conversation is over. So I use that quite a bit. Telephone conversation, using the excuse, oh my God, I just passed gas, I just farted. That doesn't mean anything to them. They're not even there. So I tend not to use that one a lot. Unless I throw stomach gas pains into it. Then it starts to work, but even then, not a great thing. There's somebody on the other line. I have no other line. They know that. Nobody has other lines. Someone's trying to get through to me. Not good. Here's a good one, though. Oh, my God, I've been expecting a very important call. It's coming through now. I have to go. And don't even wait for their response. Just hang up immediately. They get it. They know, oh my God, that's, I don't know what they're expecting who, but that's, wow, that must have been, oh wow, I hope they get that call. That sounds really, really important. There's just a lot of them. I use 20 of them because it's, again, you know, it's, they're effective. And if you'd like a copy of my 20 greatest excuses to get people off the phone or away from your face, or to end a conversation really, really quickly, it's available. The list costs, I just brought it down to $11,000. It used to be $15,000. I know, it sounds expensive and everything's inflated. Well, yeah, it's a pandemic, so everything's inflated price-wise. I went into a supermarket here in Massachusetts. It's called Shaw's. I think it's an Irish thing. But anyway, it's a nice supermarket, really nice people inside. That's fine, really nice. They have food and stuff like that. I felt like having a hamburger, so I went in there to buy some of what they call the ground beef, the chopped meat thing. And I like 93%. Actually, I like 99.9% fat-free, but, you know, if they're not going to put out 100% fat-free, I'm not going to settle for 99.9. So I get the 93%. That's about as high as they go in that store for fat-free. And because I don't like fat. I don't like fat. So I'm looking at it, and it's like whoa. It's something like it's like $12 for a small package of beef. And I look at it. It's a pound of beef, and it's $9.99 a pound. What am I in Whole Foods here? What the hell? Is this grass-fed stuff? I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I thought cows ate grass anyway, so I don't quite understand. $9.99 a pound? What, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Do I eat the hamburger meat, or do I put it in a vault somewhere for a rainy day? Oh, my God, $9.99 a pound. Of course, it's not $10 a pound. That would be horrendous. It's $9.99 a pound. But I swear that was a price, unless that was a misprint, but I don't think it was, because when you figured out how many pounds were in that package, it was $9.99 a pound. Well, I was out of there faster than a speeding bullet. That's the best analogy I could come up with off the top of my head. I'm not that good with analogies. Dr. Phil is great with analogies. Oh, he uses the old country stuff. I don't know where the hell this guy's from. I mean, he must be from like a little shack or a manger in Oklahoma or something. But he uses you know, you're really argumentative. While you would argue with a fence post. What, Phil? Are you exposing your intelligence here? What are you doing? Why my grandmother could kick me in the back and I'd still be standing up. I don't understand what that means. What point are you making here? Do you ever get the feeling in life that for some reason you don't fit in, but everybody else does? Look around you and then tell me if you really want to fit into that crap. And the answer is no. Sometimes you feel lonely and you say, I wish I were a part of that crap. Think about it. No. It's just you surrounding yourself by those crap people. There are people that are not crap. You search them out. If you're spending all your time with crap people, look in the mirror. You two are crap. So when Dr. Phil tells you, the audience, to go into the parking lot, drink the poison, and get on the flying saucer, think twice. Perhaps that's not the best idea right now. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, my guest is going to be joining us, and we'll do that. Would you like a cocktail, by the way?
Hey, are you looking for wine? You got a party coming up or something? Special occasion stuff, and you need wine? Well, you need to come on over to Jimmy's Wino-rama and get some. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I've got all the best wine, and I have personally tried each and every one of them a number of times because I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? Jimmy's Wino-rama, that's me, and it's the place to get wine. I'm an expert. We have specials this week. Cabernet Sauvignon, it's red wine, and it's like $10. Or maybe you want to be drinking Pinot Perino, it's white, chicks like it. And it's $7. So you come here. It's Jimmy's Wino-rama. It's wine, bunch of it. I'm Jimmy, and I may have a problem, but you won't have any problem saving money on wine at Jimmy's Wino-rama. I'm Jimmy. Hey, how are you? I think I already said that. Did I say that already? I said that already.
Russell Brunson is a best-selling author and CEO of a major software company, ClickFunnels. And their mission is to make sure you're successful. I like that. When I was growing up, we went to the Yellow Pages and our businesses were covered. They found the categories and we were good. Not so easy these days. It's a little bit more involved to find your audience. How long have you been involved in something like this?
I've been doing marketing online now for about 18 years.
Wow.
and ever since I was in college. So it's been a lot of fun.
Wow. You realize that especially small businesses are totally dumbfounded as to how to reach a target audience. Everything depends upon it. Your success, getting the word out, there's really no other way to do it. You can't send out flyers anymore. It's pretty rough. Do you find that a lot of companies really haven't advanced to this level yet?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people know this is what they need. They know they need digital marketing, but they don't know what to do. And I think that this whole pandemic has woken up a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, business owners, like they relied on, you know, traffic, which is, people always ask, like, what does traffic actually mean? You know, you look at a traditional business, mm-hmm. they relied on traffic, like cars driving past their storefront or people, you know, foot traffic, people walking past.
Mm-hmm.
And as the pandemic hit, all of a sudden, all that kind of traffic dried up. They realized, like, oh, no, like, I need another strategy. And so people are transitioning out, trying to figure, like, how does this work? How do I get traffic online? How do I control my destiny? So instead of waiting for people and hoping they come online, it's very easy to say, okay, I'm going to go about it and go and actually find the people that, mm-hmm. that I know are my best customers. I'm going to target them and get them to come to me. And so when you figure that out, it's nice because you're no longer just waiting and hoping people come and, you know, find you in the yellow pages or walk past. You actually go and find them and then bring them back to you.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so powerful.
But you usually have to find somebody or some entity that will give you the tips and the clues. Otherwise, you're kind of just standing there wondering and hoping.
Yeah, definitely. That's, you know, a big part of what we've been doing for the last, you know, 15, 16 years is mm-hmm. trying to help people understand that. Because when you understand it, it becomes really powerful. And I think people think it's confusing or it's hard. And the reality is it's just different. And after you learn it, it's like, oh, this is actually not that difficult to do.
Okay.
In fact, it's been fun. A lot of small business owners we work with, they tell me, like, I'm too busy to figure out this, you know, how to get traffic. And so I'll have them teach their, you know, receptionist or their front desk person and say, okay, this is your job. Between when people aren't coming in, like, follow these steps,
right.
And it'll get traffic and get people to come in for you. And it's the way to use the team and employees you already have to really leverage and grow your company.
But how do you find these steps? Do you have to hire a company to have them do it for you or to tell you what to do? Or is this something that maybe I could pick up a book and figure it out?
Well, definitely, you know, there's companies you can hire, but I'm a big believer for business owners to kind of control this part of their business. And so, as you know, I've written a book recently called Traffic Seekers that goes through 20 different ways
mm-hmm.
That entrepreneurs and small business owners can get traffic to their website. And there's some ways that cost money, and there's some ways that are free,
mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot of ways to do it. When you understand it, it puts the power back in your hands. You can control have control of your business.
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of stories from businesses, and the question is, how did you become successful? What kind of advertising did you have to spend here? And they say, no advertising costs. We just got the word out on the internet. And people still sit there and go, what do you mean? That's not an answer to my question. How do you do that?
Yeah, I think, I always tell people it's kind of a two-step process. Like, the first step, you just get really clear on exactly who your perfect customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cool thing about the internet is we can find our dream customer, but we have to know who they are first.
Mm-hmm.
So a good example, I have a friend who's a dentist, and she was running ads all over the place and struggling. And I said, hey, instead of buying ads, just showing them to everybody in the whole world, like who is your dream customer?
Uh-huh.
She said, well, for our company, our best customers are people who come in for Invisalign.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, well, what do we know about people that have Invisalign? She said, well, they make this much money per year. This is the neighborhoods they live in. And so when we have that information, then we can go back to Facebook or Google or Instagram and say, okay, I want to show these ads again, but this time only show it to people who make this much money per year. They live in these neighborhoods. You know, they have these different demographics.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when we did with her ad cost dropped down to 10% of what it was before, because she wasn't showing ads to everybody. It was just being shown to a perfect person. And then now she gets between 10 and 20 new Invisalign clients a week who come in, which completely changed her business.
Right.
And so the goal is just really understanding, like, who do I want? If I could pick anybody and be super clear on that, mm-hmm. and then you can go to Facebook, Google, YouTube, things like this, and tell it, and it'll give you, mm-hmm. it'll just show your ads to those perfect people.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the power behind it.
So are you saying that it's spending your money wisely as opposed to foolishly?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think about, I see people all the time who buy a TV ad. They're so excited because it's being shown to, you know, everybody in their hometown, millions of people or whatever, but the majority of people don't even want your product yet. You're spending money to show it to them anyway.
Right.
So I'd much rather only show it to people that are most likely to buy.
I guess the question is, do you want to just get a brand name out there, or do you want to sell your product? You know, you can
exactly.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. So your book kind of helps us through that and to help us focus on what we're really going for.
Exactly. Yeah. The goal of when I wrote it was, if I work with so many entrepreneurs who are trying to figure this out and they get stuck, and I said, okay, let me walk. Yeah. Let me make a guidebook that walks people through the step-by-step process and show them, you know, both the free ways to get traffic, but then if they want to do it faster, here are the paid ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book walks any business owner through that. They follow the process, they'll start getting traffic and customers into their business.
Well, so there are free ways to do it, you say. Probably not as effective as if you paid for a marketing a specific list, but it is still possible?
Definitely. Yeah, the free ways... Freeways work, but you're completely right. They don't work as good. So a lot of times we'll do the freeway, and then there's things you can do to boost or to pay to get it shown to more people, so that it gets out there faster. And so if you're able to reinvest some of the money back into paid ad, it definitely helps you grow your company a lot faster. Yeah.
What about this Facebook thing where you pay a certain amount of money per hit or per lead or something? Or I mean, is that effective, or is that just a general this?
No, it's super effective. We spend a lot of money every day on Facebook ads.
Really?
Because Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg built the best advertising platform in the world. It gives us the ability to target people so well. So yeah, it's one of my favorites for sure.
Wow. and it's cost effective, you say?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's very, very, very inexpensive.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of shop owners who've been in business like for 20, 30 years before the internet came along. And it's really, really hard to get them to think in any other pattern than, as you say, just putting a sign on the door that says open. And a lot of people are still in that mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think so. And the nice thing though, because of, you know, some of the scary things that have been happening is that people are realizing now, like, hey, now I have to change. I've got to, you know, now's the time to make these transitions. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who owns a gym and he's actually my trainer. So he works out with me every day. I'm the internet guy. And for the last 2 years, he asked me questions, but he never did anything. And after this pandemic, his doors were shut for 2 months. And he said, okay, I'm ready. I got to figure out the online stuff now because if there's a second wave or something else happening,
right,
you know, I need to be prepared because if that happens to me again, I might lose my business. And
That's so true. He's
now scrambling and finally making the decisions to start learning it and start figuring it out because, he knows what can happen to the business if he doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, Russell, your book actually takes on another level as well, because with people out of work, or even if they are in work, they're going for second or backup businesses. And that's entrepreneurs taking a product or a service and going out on their own with it. And when you're starting up, you definitely need those tools. Otherwise you go nowhere. So this is like, starting a whole new industry revolution, actually, and this information is very important.
Yeah, in fact, so many of our customers are exactly what you said. They're people who are doing a side hustle or it's a new startup they're trying. Definitely a big part of it.
Okay. It's called Traffic Secrets, the Underground Playbook for filling your websites and funnels with your dream customers. And Russell Brunson is the author and the expert. He's been doing this, since I was 2 years old. I'm only kidding. Maybe accurate. It may not. I don't know. Russell, is there a website that we can visit as well?
Yep, definitely. If people want a copy of the book, obviously they can go to Amazon and type in Traffic Secrets and they can find it. But right now, because it's like the launch week of my book, we're giving away free copies on our website. And people just have to cover the shipping, and I've pre-bought hardbound copies for everyone. So if they go to trafficsecretsbook.com, it's trafficsecretsbook.com, and let me know where to ship one. I'll send them out a free copy, and they can get all these traffic secrets for them and for their business.
There you go. Hey, Russell, thank you so much for your time today. Great stuff. Thanks. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been so fantastic, the way you've been so patient and tolerant of me. I like that. I like that. Maybe sometime we can buy some 99.99999% germ-free stuff together, huh? What do you think? Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I'll be back again tomorrow. I know. I realize that.